Imagine living 100 years ago, during the Victorian age in America. Imagine being the first woman to run for president in 1872, at a time when women did not even have the right to vote.
If you nominate a woman in the month of May, dare you face what Mrs. Grundy and her set will say.
Imagine Victoria Woodhull, censored from history books, while Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton take credit for the women's suffrage movement that swept the nation after the Civil War. Today's Women's History segment, Censorship and Suffrage, focuses on Victoria Woodhull, her role in the fight for equal rights in America, and the scandal that cost Woodhull her place in history among other great feminists.
If you nominate a woman in the month of May, dare you face what Mrs. Grundy and her set will say.
Defending equal rights for all citizens, Victoria Woodhull ran for president with running mate Frederick Douglass, a leading African-American abolitionist.
If you nominate a Negro in the month of May, dare you face what Mr. Grundy and his chums will say.
Douglass joined Woodhull in demanding suffrage for women and blacks equally. This issue divided the nation, pitting abolitionists against suffragists, conservatives against liberals, and Republicans against Southern Democrats.
What was important was to get people thinking about something other than a man in the White House, that it was time to think about a woman in the White House, and it was time to think about a black man in the White House.
According to Mary Shear, website owner of Victoria Woodhull & Company, they provoked mixed reactions from rivals and supporters alike.
There were some people that felt that the focus should be solely on the vote, that anything else was an extraneous issue that would take people off the track. Frederick Douglass was advised that he should not accept the vice presidential nomination because his association with Woodhull would tarnish his image. And that's what is absolutely amazing, because here's a man who was a former slave, and yet he would be brought down by being associated with Victoria Woodhull. And I don't think anyone really took Victoria's candidacy seriously, except perhaps Victoria Woodhull herself and the people around her. Theodore Tilton, he was once asked what he thought of the candidacy of Victoria Woodhull, and he said that he could support her candidacy if it wasn't for one thing, that she wasn't a black woman. He felt that her candidacy didn't go far enough.
Yes, Victoria, we've selected for our chosen head. With Fred Douglass on the ticket, we will raise the dead.
Why was Woodhull feared as a threat to her colleagues? Not only was Victoria Woodhull the first woman to run for president, but she and her sister, Tennessee Claflin, were the first female stockbrokers on Wall Street, the owners of Woodhull, Claflin & Company, and the publishers of the Woodhull, Claflin Weekly, a radical newspaper which Woodhull used to challenge the status quo, as well as her rich and powerful opponents.
The media was very different than it is today. They didn't have this ideal of non-partiality, or at least if they did, they didn't practice it. Most of the newspapers back in her time were strongly tied to parties, Republican or Democratic. It was very difficult to find a newspaper that was independent and thinking, that tried to present a balanced point of view. And I do think to a certain extent her paper tried to provide that. She had views published that she didn't personally agree with, but that she felt should be presented.
One of Woodhull's stories exposed a sex scandal involving national public figures. Jailed on trumped-up obscenity charges that were later dropped, Woodhull was unjustly censored by government and ultimately from history.
What has made her disappear from the history books is the Beecher Tilton scandal. There was a minister, Reverend Henry Ward Beecher, who was a very popular minister. He was the Protestant version of the Pope in America at that time. And she learned through friends that the husband of one of his parishioners was certain that Reverend Beecher had had an affair with his wife. And she published that information in her newspaper, and it caused a tremendous scandal as big as the Monica Lewinsky scandal. and that resulted in her arrest. They were attempting to suppress the weekly, and she spent Election Day in jail. The government went so far as to take some of her plates from the newspaper and destroy them and confiscate private newspapers. They tore up the office. So they really wanted to make sure that that newspaper wasn't reprinted. But fortunately, there was a set of plates that they had smuggled out prior to the arrest, and so they were able to reprint that controversial issue of the weekly at a later date. In fact, what's absolutely amazing is that there may have been a lot of people that weren't very sympathetic to her view prior to the arrest, but after the arrest, seeing how heavily the government came down on her, she gained a lot of sympathy from unlikely sources.
Controversy aside, based on numerous writings that Woodhull left behind, Mary Shear describes her great-great-step-grandmother as a 19th-century visionary.
My favorite thing about her is that she was a woman of convictions. She was what she would term a humanitarian. She was interested in taking care of the poor, the sick, the hungry, the prisoners. She was interested in helping everyone in all aspects of life. She welcomed millionaires in her home, as well as prostitutes and anyone that was needy. And she was a very spiritual, religious woman, which is something that the books don't get across. She really did have a strong faith in something beyond herself, and I think that's what allowed her to do some of the great things she did, because she had a faith in something greater than herself that I think few people have faith in.
Woodhull's open spiritual views were tolerated compared with her revolutionary defense of free love. 100 years ahead of her time, she defended every woman's right to consent to sex, to escape abuse, and to seek divorce.
Victoria Woodhull and Elizabeth Cady Stanton were interested in free love, which meant that men and women would be free to pursue their own affections without the interference of the government. The issues that she was concerned with at that time had more to do with the issue of marriage. There were women that were being raped by their husbands, but the law didn't recognize it as such. And Mary Gabriel, I think, put it most succinctly. She said that what Victoria Woodhull was fighting for was to give single women the right to say yes and married women the right to say no.
Though she favored monogamy, Woodhull's willingness to defend sexual freedom was seen as immoral. During the Victorian age, the idea of free love was associated with promiscuity, as today's freedom of choice is equated with promoting abortion. And similar to abortion, free love divided the women's movement into two wings, split between conservative and liberal politics.
The people in the American Women's Suffrage Association, the Boston Movement, they wanted people to think that these were just nice, true Victorian women who just happened to want the vote to make life a little better, to take care of prostitution and drunkenness, and that they really weren't interested in getting their hands dirty into politics. But Victoria Woodhull and Elizabeth Cady Stanton and some of the other women really felt that there needed to be changes, not just in voting, but in marriage and divorce, in issues of motherhood. And they were really radical, and I think there were a lot of women that weren't ready for the change.
Political division threatened the suffrage movement, setting it back an estimated 45 years. While opponents blame Victoria Woodhull for dividing the women's movement, Mary Shear rejects this as a vain attempt to discredit Woodhull.
Free love divided the movement long before Victoria Woodhull ever came on the picture. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the Beecher Tilton scandal involved two people from each of the separate wings. Reverend Henry Ward Beecher belonged to the conservative Boston wing, and Theodore Tilton belonged to the liberal New York wing.
What lessons can we learn from Victoria Woodhull in the fight for equal rights? According to Mary Shearer of Victoria Woodhull and Company, the two wings of the women's movement could have worked together on areas of common agreement. Instead, they launched personal attacks on one another, trying to prove moral superior ground. In short, stay with the issues instead of attacking your opponents. Given the choice between taking a broader but unpopular stance and avoiding controversy to win a single issue, here are words of advice Mary Shearer has for community activists today.
I think the best thing to do is to stand up for what you believe is right. You need to stand by your convictions, even though your stance may be unpopular. Because many of the things that she spoke about have actually come to fruition. Back in Victoria Woodhull's time, if you had a husband that was beating you, or a spouse that was an alcoholic, you pretty much had no choice but to stay in the marriage. But now we have millions of people who think, if you are being abused, get out. She expressed these viewpoints that we take for granted today at a time when they were very unpopular. And so as long as whatever you're expounding is based on good sense, I think eventually you'll be shown in the future to have been correct.
Like the socialists, whose third-party campaigns helped win the fight for welfare, the Equal Rights Party of 1872 was not out to win the election, but to force governmental reform. Championing this common cause, different factions united to nominate Victoria Woodhull for president.
The people were sick and tired of the corruption that was going on at that time under the Grant administration. And they were really a diverse group of people. There were socialists and communists and land reformers and dress reformers and spiritualists. And they all had different goals, but the one thing that they had in common is that they all believed that the government needed to reform. And there had been talk in the newspaper prior to the convention about who they would nominate. Some people wanted it to be Reverend Henry Ward Beecher. Some wanted Theodore Tilton. But Victoria Woodhull had been involved with the arranging, and she had actually tried to make the meeting part of the National Women's Suffrage Association meeting in New York. But Susan B. Anthony, who had been absent, had her name signed to a call for this political party, and she was against it. She felt that the women's suffrage movement shouldn't be involved in a political wing, while her friend Elizabeth Cady Stanton was on Victoria's side and believed in the wing. And Victoria Woodhull and Susan B. Anthony got into a fight at the suffrage movement, and Susan B. Anthony turned out the gas lights. And so Victoria asked all of the people to move over to another hall to decide on the nomination. And that's when the party was formed, when they chose their name, and when they nominated Victoria Woodhull for president.
If you nominate a woman in the month of May, dare you face what Mrs. Grundy and her set will say? How they'll jeer and frown and slander, chattering night and day. Oh, did you dream of Mrs. Grundy in the month of May?
Despite Woodhull's far-reaching achievements, very little has been done to recover her lost history and to correct misinformation. According to Mary Shearer, whose family once owned an entire collection of Woodhull Claflin weeklies, her news articles still exist on microfilm. But the few biographies available on Victoria Woodhull fail to present an accurate record of this woman's remarkable life.
Oddly enough, the National Women's Hall of Fame in Seneca Falls does not have her included in their list of great women. Elizabeth Cady Stanton is there, Susan B. Anthony, Harriet Beecher Stowe, who was her nemesis. They're all there, but Victoria is conspicuously absent. Certainly, if anyone would like to help in collecting Victoria Woodhull memorabilia, it would be greatly appreciated.
For more information, visit the website for Victoria Woodhull and Company, or email the owner, Mary Shearer, who provided the comments used in this broadcast.
You can go to the website at www.victoria-woodhull.com, and I can also be reached by email at victoriawoodhull@yahoo.com. And Woodhull is W-O-O-D-H-U-L-L.
Yes, Victoria, we selected for our chosen head. With Fred Douglas on the ticket, we will raise the dead. Then around them let us rally without fear or dread. And next March we'll put the Grundys in their little bed. And next March we'll put the Grundys in their little bed.